Al-Bayan Radio presents the following lesson live from Masjid Al-Azhar, Bilmo.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah wa salatu wa salamu ala Rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man ihtada bihuda amma ba'd. Tonight we begin with the hadith of Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala anhu wa arda, which Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah has placed in his Kitab al-Tawheed, in his Sahih. And the hadith of Abu Huraira radiyallahu anhu with us tonight is the hadith where he says that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the example of a believer is that of a fresh green plant, the leaves of which move in whatever direction the wind forces them to move. And when the wind becomes still, it stands straight. He said, such is the example of the believer. He is disturbed by trials, calamities, but is like the fresh plant. He regains his normal state soon. He then said, and the example of a kafir, of a disbeliever, is that of a pine tree which remains hard and straight until Allah cuts it down when He wills. So this hadith, my brothers and sisters, it is one of the amazing ahadith which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is giving the example, showing the difference between the mu'min and the kafir in times of fitna and times of hardship. And it was very common for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to give examples where he would compare the mu'min to such and such and the kafir to such and such in order for a person to be able to comprehend and paint a picture about what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying. In this hadith, he's comparing the believer to a tree and the kafir to another type of tree. The shurrah of the hadith, the explainers of the hadith, they say that a plant in its beginning stages, it is upon one trunk. It has one trunk. And in its early stages, it is soft. And it goes with the wind, whichever direction the wind goes. When a tree first starts growing, we know it grows small. And because of it is small, whichever way the wind goes, the tree goes. And the fact that this small tree goes with the wind, it going with the wind does not affect it. It doesn't affect its health, nor does it affect its uprightness. So think of a small tree, the wind comes, it moves it right, it moves it left, but it does not harm the tree. Eventually the tree will go back to its position. And it could even be so that after the wind and it remains straight again, it can even become stronger. Because it went through this test, so then it becomes stronger. And this is how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam likened the believer to this type of plant that moves with the wind. Because the believer gets tested from all directions. The believer, just like this plant, just like the plant moves in the direction of the wind, the believer gets tested from all directions. And in every time, whenever the believer is tested with a hard test, and you think that the test is going to destroy the believer, the test passes, just like the wind passes, and then the believer goes back to being upright, just like the plant after the wind. Look at this example that Rasulullah ﷺ is giving. It's amazing. So the test will pass and the believer returns with his iman, strong as if no harm had touched him. And that's how you can differentiate the mu'min from others. When the mu'min goes through a hard test and you think, subhanallah, this test is going to destroy me. But then, because you're firm, Allah allows the test to pass. And once the test passes, what happens to the mu'min? He gets stronger in his deen. From the test, he becomes stronger. So this is how Rasulullah ﷺ is comparing the mu'min to this tree that goes with the wind. Once the wind passes, he becomes upright again. And even stronger. He then said, and the example of the kafir. As for the kafir, and in another narration, the munafiq, and in another narration, the fajir. So there's different chains. One narration said the kafir, one said the munafiq, and one said the fajir. And it's all the same. It is all the same. The Prophet ﷺ said, as for the disbeliever, his example is like a pine tree, which remains straight and hard, stubborn, does not move like the previous tree with the wind. It remains strong and hard until Allah cuts it down when He wills. The Prophet ﷺ said. And the Prophet ﷺ used the pine tree. You know pine, the snubar. Yeah, this is the pine. He used the pine tree as an example because the pine tree is stiff. And it must come to an end. And if Allah wills, He cuts it down and destroys it and breaks it and does not return to its uprightness the way the other plant does. So the tree which is used for the kafir, the Prophet ﷺ said, Allah cuts it. And once it's cut, it cannot return to its uprightness. But the plant which he used for the mu'min, it goes with the tests, but then it becomes upright again. And that's the difference between the believer and the kafir. And the Shaykh says that this is the common state of most non-Muslims. Most non-Muslims, they are free from tests. The wind does not move the pine tree. Many non-Muslims do not get tested the way a believer might get tested. He doesn't get tested in his wealth or his illness or whatever else, because he is given his portion of happiness in the dunya, and then he will come on the day of judgment bankrupt and empty-handed. So his regret on the day of judgment will be even more. And his destruction is even worse. And it's possible that he's tested in the dunya as well. Even the kafir gets tested in the dunya before his punishment in the akhirah. But the believer, it's from Allah's mercy that Allah decreed the hardships for him to face in the dunya so that he can receive the reward through them for his akhirah. That's the wisdom of tests. Some people say, why do we get tested? Because with your test, you earn and you elevate your status in the hereafter if you treat those tests as a believer. That's the condition. When the believer is tested and he deals with the test as a believer, then his test becomes a mercy. And it is a cleansing of his sins. And it is a reason for him to raise his ranks in the hereafter. So this hadith here, Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah used this hadith because we're talking about the will of Allah in this chapter. And he clearly used this hadith because at the end, the Prophet ﷺ says, until Allah cuts the tree when He wills. Meaning the destruction towards the disbeliever. So this shows that everything is by the will of Allah. And nothing occurs except by His will and His capability. Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah then moves on to the next hadith, the hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma, where he says, I heard Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, while he was standing on the minbar, I heard the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam while he was on the minbar saying, the remaining period of your stay on earth in comparison to the nations before you is like the period between the Asr prayer and Maghrib, the sunset. The people of the Tawrat, meaning the Jews, were given the Tawrat and they acted upon it until midday, until Dhuhr. And then they were worn out, they became tired, and they were given for their labor one qirat of reward each. He said, then the people of the Injil, the Gospel, were given the Injil and they acted upon it until the time of Asr. And then they were worn out and they were given for their labor one qirat each. He said, then you people were given the Quran and you acted upon it until Maghrib. So you were given two qirats each, meaning double the reward of the previous nations. So then the people of the Tawrat, meaning the Jews, they complained and they said, Ya Rabb, our Lord, these people, they're talking about the Ummah of Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, these people have done little labor, but have taken double the reward, greater reward. So Allah Azza wa Jal says to them, have I withheld anything from your reward? Meaning, have I stopped your reward? So they say no. Then Allah says, that is my fadl, that is my favor, which I bestow upon whom I will. This is another one of the amazing ahadiths, my brothers and sisters, and this is a bushra, a glad tiding to the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is giving an example here of the nation of the Jews, the Christians, and the Muslims. Those given the Tawrat, those given the Injil, and those given the Quran. He began by saying that your period or your period that's remaining on earth compared to the other nations before you is like the period between the Asr and the Maghrib. So this ummah's stay on earth is like the period between Asr and Maghrib, compared to the previous nations, and they had their portion of the day. So the Jews were from the morning until midday. Their stay on earth was like the morning until Dhuhr. The Christians were Dhuhr to Asr, and the Muslims were Asr to Maghrib, or the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, from Asr to Maghrib. So it's like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is comparing the entire time on earth. He's splitting it into one day. The time of the Jews, the time of the Christians, the time of the Muslims. And then he gives the example that the Jews, they worked from morning to Dhuhr, and when they became tired, they were rewarded with one qirat. And the qirat is, there's difference of opinions. A lot of scholars have mentioned things. And one of the more common ones is it's like a mountain. So they worked from morning to Dhuhr, the ones given the Torah, the Jews. And then they were given one qirat for their work. The Christians worked from Dhuhr to Asr, they were given one qirat. And then the Ummah of Muhammad ﷺ worked from Asr to Maghrib, and they were given double the reward. Two qirat. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ, he said, then you people were given the Quran and you acted upon it until sunset, so you were given two qirats each. So the Prophet ﷺ likened the ending of the world to one full day. So the Jews had from morning until Dhuhr, the Christians had from Dhuhr until Asr, and this Ummah had from Asr until Maghrib. And then after that, it will be the end of the world. So this Ummah is given less time, but its reward is double. This Ummah is given less time, but its reward is double. And when the other nations complained about this, Allah replied to them and He said, have I withheld anything from your reward? Did I oppress you in any way? Did you not receive your reward for your actions? So they say, no. Oh Allah, you did not withhold anything. Then Allah says, that is my fadl, my virtue, my bounty. I give it to whomever I will. And that is the proof from the hadith, because it's talking about the mashi'ah of Allah, the will of Allah Azza wa Jal. And such hadiths, my brothers and sisters, are a refutation. A hadith like this is a refutation against the sect known as the Mu'tazila and whoever follows their path. Why? Because the Mu'tazila, part of their corrupted beliefs, they used to say statements like, it is obligatory on Allah to punish the sinner. Look, they would say, it is obligatory on Allah to punish the sinner, and it is obligatory on Allah to reward the good doer. Or it's obligatory on Allah to do this, or obligatory on Allah to do that. And this is from the utmost disrespect to Allah Azza wa Jal. This hadith refutes them, because Allah is saying, that's my fadl, I give it to whom I will. No one can force Allah to do anything. So when they say it's obligatory on Allah to punish the sinner, or obligatory on Allah to reward the good doer, this is falsehood. Nothing is obligatory on Allah. No one can obligate Allah to do anything. Anything He gives from reward is from His fadl and His generosity, that He does as He pleases, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imam al-Bukhari then moves on to the next hadith, the hadith of Ubadah ibn Samit radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Ubadah ibn Samit radiallahu anhu says in the hadith, I, along with a group of people, myself and a group of people, gave the pledge of allegiance to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We pledged allegiance to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, gave him bay'ah. And he said, I take your pledge on the condition. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is accepting their pledge of allegiance with shurut, conditions that they must fulfill. Number one, that you will not join partners in worship with Allah. That's the first condition. Number two, that you will not steal. Number three, that you will not commit zina. Number four, you will not kill your offspring. Number five, you will not slander. And number six, you will not disobey me when I order you to do good. The Prophet ﷺ then said, whoever among you will abide by his pledge, whoever abides by this pledge, his reward is with Allah. And whoever commits any of those sins and receives the punishment in the dunya, that punishment will be an expiation for his sins and a purification if he receives the punishment in the dunya. It will be an expiation and a cleansing for the akhirah. He said, but if Allah screens him, meaning covers his sin, then it will be up to Allah to punish him if he wills, or excuse him, forgive him if he wills. As you can clearly see why Imam al-Bukhari used the hadith, at the end it's talking about Allah's will. If Allah covers the person's sin in the dunya, then in the akhirah, yani if he doesn't face the punishment for it in the dunya, in the akhirah, if Allah wills, he will punish him, or if he wills, he will forgive him. So this is the hadith of Ubadah ibn Samit, radiallahu anhu. Ubadah ibn Samit ibn Qais, al-Ansari al-Khazraji, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, from Medina. He was from the noble and the big Sahaba. And he witnessed all of the battles with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he was one of the companions that had memorized the Quran entirely. Ubadah ibn Samit was from the Sahaba who had memorized the Quran entirely. He passed away 34 Hijri and he was 72 years old. That's a brief biography of the companion. So he's saying, me and a group of people gave bay'ah to the Prophet ﷺ. This word bay'ah means the pledge of allegiance. And the word bay'ah is taken from mubay'ah. And the word mubay'ah is like bay', business transaction. Yeah? And the bay'ah, or the pledge of allegiance, it's the promise and the oath to do something or to leave something. That's what bay'ah means. The oath and the promise to do something or leave something. And it is called bay'ah because it is compared to a business trade. I pledge allegiance to do this, and in return, I get this. As Allah Azza wa Jal says in the translation of the verse, verily Allah has purchased, ishtara, Allah has purchased from the believers their lives and their wealth. In return, they have Jannah. It's like a business trade. Allah has purchased from the believers their lives and their wealth, and in return, they have paradise. That's like a transaction, a sale between you and Allah Azza wa Jal. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Sahaba used to come and pledge allegiance to him to show him that they are Muslims and that they support him. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to accept their pledge under these conditions. And he began with the worst of sins. I accept your pledge on the condition that, number one, you do not associate partners with Allah. And that's to show the danger of shirk. It's the first thing Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam started with for a person to avoid. Because shirk is the one sin Allah does not forgive. And paradise is forbidden for the one who dies upon major shirk. And the Prophet ﷺ said, you do not associate anything with Allah, anything meaning at all. So all forms of shirk are forbidden. Then he said, number two, you do not steal. I accept your pledge on the condition you do not steal. And stealing is to take the wealth of someone else in a hidden way. And the completeness of Iman has been denied from the thief. The thief is not in a complete state of Iman when he steals. Number three, you will not commit illegal sexual intercourse, zina, which is also an evil sin which earns the anger of Allah Azza wa Jal. And that's what Allah says, do not go near zina, for it is a fahisha and an evil way. Allah did not even say, do not do zina. He said, do not go near it. So anything that takes you, attracts you to zina, avoid it. Allah Azza wa Jal is saying. Number four, that you will not kill your offspring. And the Prophet ﷺ specified the offspring, meaning your children, because it's the worst type of killing. The worst type of killing is killing your child, your own child. But this is general for all types of unlawful killing. Because the Arabs, they used to do this to their girls, their daughters. Or they will kill their child out of fear of poverty. And this means all unlawful killing is not allowed. Number five, you will not slander, meaning create lies about others and mischief and chaos. Number six, you will not disobey me when I order you to do good, because Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sent to be followed and obeyed. So he's saying to the Sahaba, I accept your pledge and your allegiance as long as you do not disobey me when I tell you to do something good. This is sama'na wa ata'na. We hear and we obey. And everything the Prophet ﷺ commanded is good. And the Sharia only brings good. Because the Sharia never goes against the intellect or your fitrah. Anything Allah commands is good. Anything Allah forbids is evil and harmful. He then said, whoever abides by this pledge, his reward is with Allah. And whoever commits any of those sins and receives the punishment in the dunya, meaning if he kills unlawfully and then he is executed for it, if he steals and his hand is chopped off, if he does zina, what the Prophet forbade, and he's married or muhsin, and then he gets the punishment under the Sharia for it, whoever among you abides by the pledge, his reward is with Allah. And whoever commits any of those sins and receives the punishment in the world, then that punishment will be an expiation for his sins and a purification. Meaning whoever commits any of these sins, which he said he will not, and then the law of Allah is applied on him in the dunya, it will wipe away his sins, except for shirk. Because shirk requires a tawbah. Shirk requires repentance. Then the Prophet ﷺ said, and if Allah screens him, covers him, meaning no one finds out about the sins that he does, then it will be up to Allah to punish him, or forgive him if he wills. And that's the proof that Imam al-Bukhari used here to show that everything is by the will of Allah. If he wills to forgive, he will forgive. If he wills to punish, he will punish. And inshallah, next week, we will continue with the next hadith after this one. Wallahu a'lam wa sallallahu wa sallam wa barak ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi.
This program was presented by Al Bayan Radio, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah.